Heavenly Father, we come in the magnificent and wonderful name of Jesus this morning. We do not enter into your presence presumptuously, but we enter into it with reverence. We have great reverence for you and for your word. The Bible tells us that the heavens declare your glory, and truly they do. And the earth is full of your handiworks, Lord God. And so we know you are God of great power and wisdom. And that wisdom has been compressed into this written word that we have. And we need to unravel it. And so we ask you to help us. Fresh unction and anointing, firstly from heaven, upon my heart and my lips, and so I will speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that is listening to me, those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, that the same anointing will be upon them. So the word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions to become more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Further pray that as we speak, the power of the Holy Spirit will be released in more than sufficient measure. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy, Lord God, to be faithful, so that, Lord God, we will deliver this word with, I will deliver this word with precision. I will redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of the word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed from the heart and said, amen. Hallelujah. That's the true meaning of agreement, you know, and prayer. And amen. Amen is two things. It's faith, so be it. And it's also agreement. And it means from the heart. That's why I always listen when people are praying. And then I key my faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So when I hear the word of God that they say in the prayer, my faith agrees with it, and then I say amen. I don't just say amen. Praise the Lord. And that's why it's important to listen when people are praying. And as they are praying, your heart is in synchrony, in harmonization with what is being said. And then when you now say amen, you're now releasing your faith in agreement with the prayer. And trust me, you will get the blessing. So everybody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, this morning we're going to continue our study in 1 Peter. We're in chapter 1. I trust we'll finish chapter 1 today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And in our last lesson, we've been here for some weeks, but that's the word of God for you. It's pregnant. It's full of revelation. Hallelujah. And as you study and as you pray, God begins to reveal more and more things to you, different aspects, different applications, amplify, greater degree of clarity. And that's why, you know, you need to read your Bible every day. The fact that you're reading something you read last year doesn't mean you're going to see it the same way you saw it this year. You'll get better revelation and greater clarity, greater depth and greater understanding. So in our last lesson, we stopped, I believe, in verse 21 of 1 Peter. And here, yes. Okay, we said that, we looked at verses 17 through 20. And that was why we said, you know, when we said that you're not redeemed with physical things like gold and silver, but you're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. And that is why the Bible says that you should conduct yourself in this lifetime with reverence, with fear, you know, because of the great price God paid for you to be free from sin, from sickness, from poverty, from ignorance. And don't live according to your vain conversation that has been received from tradition from your fathers. This is true for all of us. You know, whether you're an African or whether you're European or American or Japanese or Chinese, all our fathers had all kinds of strange traditions that are ungodly. And so when we become Christians, we're supposed to find out from the Word of God, you know, what is right. We don't assume something is right simply because our fathers did it. And then we now obey God by the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit that will give us a spiritual power to do the will of God, and so that we can then shun, you know, those vain traditions that are bad. Now, not all traditions are bad. Some of them are actually good, because God has had an influence on all men and all tribes and all peoples. And that's why you find something things are universal throughout humanity. For instance, take something like stealing, for example. You know, even in primitive societies, stealing is wrong. If you catch somebody stealing, they would have different levels of punishment for the person, you know, and because the basic law, thou shalt not steal, that moral law, is God himself put it in the hearts and in the consciences of all men. And so we do have traditions that our fathers have, which were actually influenced by God originally, and therefore such traditions are good. But there are many of them that are not good. Many of them are demonic. Many of them are wrong. Many of them are vain. You know, and that's why when you become a Christian, your mind needs to be renewed with the Word of God. You need to know what the Bible says, you know, what God says, you know, through the Bible about different things. And then you can make what we would call an informed judgment and decision as to what is okay and what is not okay. And he said that the reason for this is because it cost God so much to give us this freedom. This freedom from sin and the nature of sin and the power of sin through the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ as shown by the shedding of his blood. And this is where we'll take off from today. He says he was actually foreordained to die for us from the foundation of the world, even though it did not happen until about 4,000 years later after the creation of Adam. You know, but the plan had been in the heart of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right from before God made anything. The plan that Jesus would come and he would die and he would be raised again from the dead for our justification, giving all men the opportunity to be able to partake of the divine nature and then have, like God, the ability to see the difference between good and evil, and by choice choose good and have the power to do good. Now, if Jesus didn't die, we won't have that choice. You know why? You know, when I was a young Christian, I had this dilemma. I had been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and somebody who was very close to me and who was a very good Christian backslid. You know, and it affected me because I said, how could this happen? You know, and I remember going back to God in prayer. I was still in Cross River State. I hadn't even come back to Ibadan at that time. You know, when I came back, because I got born again during my youth corps in Cross River, you know, and then I went to Imperial College and I came back and God called me into the ministry. I didn't know what to do. I really didn't know where to go. So I just did the sensible thing. You know, I took a job. I was teaching in a school, in secondary school. It was different from the one I did when I was in youth corps. And, you know, I was just teaching in the afternoon. In the evening, I just take my Bible, pray, and I was seeking God for direction and all of that. I was there for about 3 months before I now came back, you know, and then started working with Brother Emiko. But during that time, this thing I'm about to tell you is what happened. It wasn't something that came in one day. It came over time. That's why you need to, when the Bible says, seek his face. That's what it means. I still do the same today. When I'm praying, I'm at the same time talking to God with my thoughts. And that's a habit all of us need to learn. So that prayer is no longer mechanical. Prayer is not, you know, it's a communion. Even though I'm doing something mechanical, which is speaking in tongues, that will be going on, you know. But in my mind, you know, and that's why I read my Bible a lot. You know, so I don't read my Bible all the time, but, you know, I'll read my Bible or I'll have a scripture. And, you know, as I'm praying, God will just give me a scripture. I'll quickly turn to the Bible. I'll quickly look at it, then I'll close it. Then I'll keep praying. Then I'll get another scripture or something, another thought. And that's how I know God talks to me. And this is not only true for me, it's true for everybody. That's why the more of the Bible you have in your heart, the more God can talk to you. Anyway, going back to what I was saying, I began to ask God, why do men even fall? I began to ask God fundamental questions. I said, God, why is it that, you know, evil is in the world and you allow it? And all kinds of terrible things like this thing that has happened. And God began to speak to me. And he began to tell me that he made up his mind. I read these things later in the Bible and it became clear to me. But I'm telling you what God spoke to me in my own heart. He said he made up his mind that he is going to make man in his image and likeness. And for man to be like God, man had to have a choice. Otherwise he'll be a robot. He said, I made some angels like robots. He said, I made some that are a little bit like me and had a free will to some degree. That's people like Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer, who became Satan. You know, he said, but you are made exactly in my image and in my likeness. And you have a choice. He said, if you don't have a choice, you cannot be like me. He said, that choice is the root of evil. Because in doing that, the possibility of man's fall and to misuse that free will was there. But God had to, for him to make us like himself, there was no choice. He had to do that. So, simultaneously when the decision was made to make man in his image and likeness the free will, at the same time the solution was made. And he said, okay, they can fall. But if they do fall, I will pay a price. And then when I pay a price, they will now see the folly of falling. Then they will now come back to me. And those who come back to me, we will now enjoy the reason why I made them to be like me. I said, okay, Lord, I understand. I understand. He said, the other choice was not to make anything. He said, but I'm God. I can decide to make and I can decide not to make. So I decided to make. You cannot argue with God. Hallelujah. And he said, that's why. And then he took me to the book of Revelation. I can never forget. He said, that is why at the end, do you understand, the books will be opened. It's not one book. It's books. Plural. You know, this is how I got a lot of stuff, you know, just by prayer. And God would talk to me. He said, go and check. I said, he said, no, book, it's books. I said, yes, Lord. Then I looked at it. He said, there's the book of life. He said, the book. He said, what do you think those books are? He said, the Bible on one hand. He said, the book of life on one hand. He said, and also the record of human existence. And then I will play back everything I did. And everything you did. That's why the Bible says that thou mayest be justified. Do you know that God himself will be judged? Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Do you know that's why God is very careful what he says and what he does? Because everything he too is doing is being recorded. So when they're going to play, that's why, look at, you see God being so transparent in the Bible. And you begin to wonder, but you are God. When, for example, God was angry and wanted to kill everybody in Israel, the Bible says Moses spoke to him and said, and even Abraham too, when he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? He was challenging him.
He said, He said, be it far from thee to do this. Then he said, turn from this your fierce anger. If you are God, thank God you are not God. Everybody turn to your neighbor. I thank God you are not God. I will not be sitting here. You would have finished me long time ago. Give the Lord another clap offering. Every day I thank God I'm not God. And I thank God you are not God. I thank God God is God. Give the Lord a clap offering. He said, and the Bible said, and Lord repented. It's being recorded. So everything God does, you know, so he will show you what he did. He will show you what you did. And at the end of the day, everybody who goes to hell will not be able to say God was unjust. He will show you everything. The plan, what he did, the sacrifice of Jesus, when you were born, how the angels helped your mother, there are a lot of invisible stuff you don't know. How he came, walked in your circumstances, you turned your back, you stiffened your will, you were stubborn. He says, he that is often corrected, you know, he says he shall suddenly be destroyed. But before God does, it takes a long time. And then without remedy. But he doesn't do it. So he will be justified. And that was the day the Lord said this to me, you know, during that period of time. He said, anybody who actually goes to hell at the end of the day really wanted to go. Because I will show you the folly. Hence, that's what Paul, you know, it's an expansion of what Paul wrote in the book of Romans. He said that, you know, the law is written in their hearts, in every man's conscience, the meanwhile excusing or otherwise accusing one another. He said, in the day, give me that scripture. It's Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 is around verse 15. Romans chapter 2, verse 15. Let's move up to verse 14. Yes, for when the Gentiles, these are the things that helped me when they are the solid foundation of my faith. Because I had a big problem because I came, my mom's family on one side is Muslim. You know, and some of them are really good people. So I had the dilemma with this thing, you know. But God made it very clear to me. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature, what I was talking about, you know, good traditions, things contained in the law, these not having the law, are a what? Law unto themselves. Verse 15. Which show the work of the law, where? Written, who put it there? God! In their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing. Give me this in the New International Version. Since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, their thoughts now accusing or now even defending them. Do you know it was Abimelech's thoughts that defended him? When God came to him, he said, you're a dead man. You have taken another man's wife. He said, God, wait, oh, I didn't know. He told me it was his sister. God said, I know you didn't know. This is a man who is not a Christian. But the integrity of your heart. He said, that is why I'm now giving you, now you know. Now you know. That's why I've come to you in this dream. And I'm now opening, I'm now showing you. He's not his sister, he's his wife. I'm now telling you. Now what are you going to do about it? Now, Abimelech had two choices. To give Sarah back to Abraham or keep her and die. But God would have been justified. Is this clear? That's just a simple example. That happens all the time. All the time. To both Christian and sinner. God is constantly showing you in your heart what is right and what is wrong. And when you now know in your heart, you see, other people may not know you know, but you know you know. That, and God told me that when during that time I was, he said, don't mind them. Or he said, they are great pretenders. He said, because they will. He said, he may be telling you he doesn't know, but he's in his heart, he knows he knows. And they also, you know, deceiving themselves and trying to deceive other men, and they feign ignorance. He said, you yourself, talking to me, Olubi Johnson, he said, remember before you got born again, you all things. He said, can you tell me you didn't know? I said, Lord, I did. I did. I'm sorry. That's how I got born again. When I was reading Romans chapter 2, you know, and when he was talking that place, you know, and rebellious to parents, disobedient, my conscience was just saying, guilty, 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 guilty. You know, I could not hide from the truth. Then I now say, God save me. That's how I got born again. And God said, it's not unique to you. He said, I do that for everybody. He said, some say yes and some say no. Some say yes and some say no. And when you say yes, then mercy comes, grace comes to help you. Then you now begin to fulfill the purpose for which you are created, which really is to be a God. You know, I know it sounds terrible to the religious ear, but that's exactly what it is. Jesus said, I say you are gods. Hallelujah. Made in the image and in the likeness of God. Christ in you or God in you. Same thing. Same thing. The hope of glory. That is the hope. That's the dream God had. When you were, before he formed you in your mother's womb, he had a dream for you to be God. To be a God like him. So if you understand the mystery of the gospel properly, it is actually an extension of the Godhead. Take it or leave it. Sell out. I did hear amen. Pastor Boyega and one or two other people. I know it's hard for people there, but that's exactly the plan. And that was why the solution to make the plan a reality was done before the foundation of the world. It had nothing to do with what you did or what you didn't do. The plan was already made, foreordained before the, you know, as a lamb to be slain, so that a price would be paid. Jesus would have to go to hell. He would have to take a partake of the sin nature. He would have to be punished. He would have to suffer. Then he would be raised from the dead because, you know, he did it as an act of sacrifice for us. Then from that time on, before and after really, but it happened after, you know, around the middle of human history, you know, you can go either before the cross or after the cross, BC or AD. You know, once since it has been done now, everybody is going to be held accountable to that thing. You like it or you don't like it. Where some people who didn't hear? Oh, trust me, they're all here. Because even the gospel was preached to the spirits in prison. No, I'm telling you, when I understood all of these things, my faith became rock solid. That's why Jesus, he didn't just die. When he went to hell, he went across to Abraham's will. He said he preached to the spirit. He said that, give me that scripture. These are scriptures that are not very familiar to so many Christians. It's in either first or second Peter, where it says that, you know, that he might judge the living and the dead, and that, you know, that the gospel was preached to them that are dead also. It actually says it like that. Give me that scripture. Yeah, hey. Yeah, he says this. There's another one where he says that he preached to those that were dead. You know, where is it? Aha! You know that there's another scripture that actually says the gospel was preached to the dead. Somebody find it for me. You know, Google the word. No, not Google. You know, put it inside your search. You know, and put in First Peter and put dead, and you will see it. You know, either Peter or is in Timothy. It's there anyway. Trust me. Yeah, yes.
For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are what? So you can't tell you didn't hear. If you don't hear it here, you hear it there. But you will hear it. And you will be judged. So for all those who are in Africa, the missionary had not yet come, they didn't hear, they were here. What did you say, darling? Exactly. But those are, you know, if you reject it, if those that you know, and you reject it, once you hear and you reject, you're in trouble. Thank you, darling. Mommy is saying, that's why they won't say I'm preaching another gospel, that, you know, they can preach to you after you are... No, in this lifetime now, why do you think it's on television? It's on internet? It's everywhere? You will not die before they come and preach to you. This is what the people in the olden times who didn't hear. But for you now, you cannot... Why do you think God is spending so much money? Hey, guys like us were yanked out of our professions and called to preach. So you can't say you didn't hear. If you live in this Nigeria, you cannot say you did not hear. Somebody, you know, one of our life operators say, you know, my wife's often say, I came to the church when you guys were in Bodija International School. I'm not a person. You know, how many like that? Thousands. Hundreds of times. So God just let the thing go. You can't say you didn't hear. The question is, what did you do with it when you heard? It's recorded. It's recorded in the books. You know, man now has technology. We know how to record things. We can digitize information, put it on a stick, you know, and it's in like a film. Can you imagine how kind of technology God has? They will play everything back three-dimensional in real time. When your time comes, when you come to the judgment seat, it just said books. But you don't know what kind of book, whether it's digitized. Don't joke with God. Hallelujah. Everything we're doing now is just a small copy of what he already knows. That's what the Bible says in one place. It says, you know, fear God and don't be wise in your own conceits. God will be justified. God is justified. Because before anybody did anything, he had killed himself. Foreordained. Let's get back to... We're going back to the Bible study now. You see what I mean when I say the Bible is pregnant? That's just one verse. Who verily was foreordained after the foundation of the world? Before. But was manifest in this last time. It was, the plan was already there. But it was now made manifest about 2,000 years ago. You know. For who by him, I did not hear you, do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Now let me just stop there. You know, this is a good Easter message. Although we're not in Easter now, but it's a universal, it's a message for all time. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ settles all controversies. You see, as I began to have greater understanding of these things and greater revelation, clearer revelation about them, I saw the folly, and it is folly, of trying to compare Christianity with any other religion. There's no place of comparison. It's not a religion to start with. Religion is just man's way of trying to serve God and please God. The motivation may be sincere. God has had mercy on me, you know, to learn to be merciful. Now, people's motivation of all other religions, they may be sincere. But they're sincerely wrong. But they're sincere. No, I don't take that away from them. And when God sees a sincere heart, he'll get across to him.
Amen. But this is the fact. Of all religions, their leaders and their the people who profess and all of that, they are still in their graves. That is a fact. There's only one person. Give him a clap offering, somebody. Hallelujah. A standing ovation. There's only one person. Who died and came back to tell us what is on the other side. Does it not make sense to follow that one? How can you follow the one who did not come back? How can you be sure whether what he said is true or not? You can be seated if you can. Hallelujah. It's the truth. That is why the resurrection is fundamental to Christianity. No resurrection, no Christianity. Paul said, how say some among you that did? He said, Koyeyi. I have to go into Yoruba. Yes, sir. Anybody arguing about resurrection, you don't understand Christianity. Your new birth, you know where it came from? Resurrection. The life of God that you have inside you that changes your nature came from the resurrection. I was not there when Jesus was crucified physically. I was not there the day he was raised from the dead. But I know he was raised from the dead because he lives in me. Give the Lord a clap offering. The same life that raised him from the dead is what is living inside my bosom. And it has changed me from the inside. You cannot take that away from me. That is not in any other religion. That's why it's religion. This one is life. Glory to God. That's religion. And they may be sincere. And you know, yeah. And they start with that. They start with looking and seeking and searching like Cornelius. And then when God sees that, aha, he really wants to know, I will send you Simon who will show you what you ought to do. He will say, he will get, trust me, God will get across to them. If he got across to Olubi Johnson, get across to anybody. I came from a complete sinner background. Didn't know nothing about nothing and didn't want to know. Amen. It's true. It's not like me can get saved. Anybody can get saved. I didn't grow up in church. I don't go to church every Sunday. You know, my parents were separated. My mother was a Muslim. I used to go with this Muslim thing. She didn't force us to go to the mosque, no. You know, we didn't go every Friday or anything like that. You know, but whenever they had all these their festivals, I would go because my grandfather was a chief imam. You know, I had no exposure to light. Not the kind that somebody who would go to church regularly would have. I mean, I went to Christian school, thank God for CMS, and I, you know, occasionally I would go to Bible studies, and I didn't really, we just did it for ice cream, and I remember in St. Saviour's, it's still in Alexander Road in Ikoyi. Now, this, I'm sure they must have been missionaries. You know, they would come around the houses of all the children in Ikoyi in those days, and they'll come and take you for Bible study. And they'll give us ice cream, they'll give us biscuits, so we go. Read your Bible, pray every day. You know children like songs and all that, and tell the truth and let the devil be ashamed. You have to remember the things they told us. But it didn't get me saved. It was good, and it started me on the road. If God could get across to me, he can get across to anybody. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. He can get across. He can get across to anybody who is in their heart wants to really know the truth. What do you want to know? The truth or self-justification? Who raised him from the dead? That's where we started from. That thing is the heart of Christianity. Nobody else has been raised from the dead. Apart from those that he who was raised from the dead raised from the dead. Oh! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's our joker.
That's what makes Christianity a cut above everything else. And then to solidify it, God arranges, because he rules in the affairs of men, that the strongest nations in the world, and that conquered the whole world, first of all, Great Britain, then later on, you know, America, you know, and all of that, their influence is so strong in the world that whether you believe or you don't believe, whether you accept or you don't accept, everything is dated before and after Christ. He now stands at the center of history, and all men acknowledge it. I don't care where you are, the stock market is closed on Sunday. You can say you want to trade on your own, but you can't trade with people who are really doing the trading. Ain't no business on Sunday, because it represents the day of the resurrection of the risen Lord. You accept it, you don't accept it, it's there. It wasn't there some hundreds of years ago, but over the period of history, God has so made it that whether you believe in Christ or not, whether you're a Christian or not, the acknowledging of the reality that Christ was raised from the dead is a central part of human existence and history. You can't do anything about it. Another thing, while I'm at it, I might as well just, you know, is the Jewish race. From which Jesus came according to the flesh. The history of Israel is enough to make any thinking man think. When you don't, you know, one Ronuni. Because if you are thinking, you go, these people. There's something about Israel. Everything that could have been done has been done, and yet they are not, you can't eliminate them.
Amen.
They're only about, I think they're maybe 10 million. They're not even 9 million. The number of Nobel Prizes. For the simple fact that they're the seed of Abraham. Behind the covenants, the promise, the... Oh my God. We owe this Bible to the Jews. The whole of the Old Testament, Jews. The whole of the New Testament, Jews. Except Luke. Food for thought. Selah. Raise him from the dead. And gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Your faith to get born again and receive the new birth, and then your hope for perfection, your hope for the resurrection. Or like I said last week, your hope for the redemption of your body, and then your hope for the glorification of your body. Hallelujah. Next verse. Am I talking to anybody here? Okay, I think I'm going to close on this. Seeing. You didn't say it properly. I said seeing. Turn to your neighbor and say, what are you seeing? Tell him. Praise the Lord. You know, the thing is, assuming you are seeing. You know, many Christians are not seeing this thing. He says, seeing. This is. That's why we need proper teaching in the church. See, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. I like this sequence. Through the Spirit. Unto unfeigned love. Hello? Look at the sequence. You purify your soul in obeying the truth. Through the Spirit unto genuine love. There's no way I can finish this day. Of the brethren, see, again, say, see that you love one another with a what? Pure heart. Ordinarily. Where did you hear that word again? Fervent prayer. Can you see the link between love and prayer?
The same. That's one of the things I love about the King James. That's why I make the King James my main something. Because it was not a paraphrase. It was a word-by-word translation with the original tongues. So when you see that word, the same word that you see in James. Because you see, to really love, you have to pray fervently in the Spirit. Because that's what generates and releases the forces of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, and patience. And it's when that's why you can love white-hot love. Love that will really love like God loves. Because you got it by the God who is the Spirit. So the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions are to be purified. That's why you shouldn't be living according to the traditions of your fathers and their vain conversation. Your soul should be purified unto obedience through the Spirit. I preached this many years ago. I think it's in the weekly room. If you just put obedience through the Spirit, I think it will come out. You know, because I remember. You know, but here, for the purposes of this Bible study, I just want to bring out this fact. There cannot be really any significant level of obedience without the power of the Spirit. Through the Spirit. That's why, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. It actually starts from verse 11. We're talking about obedience now. From verse 11. Say, for this commandment. This is God. And the good thing about this is that he gave this law, this spiritual law, this revelation, this understanding, right from Moses. Even before Moses, really. Because people like people like Joseph and Enoch and some of the earlier patriarchs were actually practicing this, you know. And then God now formalized it through Moses. He said, this commandment, which I commanded this day, it is not hidden from thee. I didn't hear you. Neither is it far off. Next verse. It is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Next verse. Neither is it beyond the sea, that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Verse 14. But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy what? And in thy, that thou mayest. Here he gives us a spiritual law. The way you do the word of God is by saying it with your mouth. Why do you have to say it with your mouth? Because you're releasing the power to do it. And that power is energized by the Holy Spirit inside your heart. So if you don't talk the word of God, you can never do it. I'm going to say it again. If you don't talk the word, you can never do the word. And I'm going to add something else to that. If you don't talk the word and think the word, you can never get the word. Do the word. You must think, you must say and think. This is the sequence. Say, think, do. Everybody says say, think, do. I didn't hear you. Everybody says say, think, and do. Say you have a problem with patience. You're not a very patient person. You easily fly off the handle. You know what I mean by that. You don't literally fly off the handle. You know what I mean? What I mean is you get angry very easily. You're easily, you know, you have a very short fuse and all of that. I don't know what a fuse is. As an electrical term, right? Like I will teach you better. You know, if you have a 5-amp fuse, you know, you put 10 amp inside, it will blow. So, you know, your own fuse, your amperage is so low, any little current blows. Any little pressure, they take the fuse, and all the lights in God go out. And you start walking in darkness. For he that hates his brother walketh in darkness.
No, just that's just a natural illustration. But the point is this. You now take the word, love endures long and is patient and kind. So you start saying, I endure long and I am patient and kind. Don't stop there. As you say, I endure long and I'm patient and kind, you now pray in tongues about I endure long and I'm patient and kind. And you now think it inside your heart. As you do that, the power to be patient and kind is deposited in your mind, in your will, in your emotions, inside your body. It's not going to be overnight. That is why God gives us, that's why he endures long and is patient and kind, to give you time to get fruit. Because fruit does not come. It's grown, you know. It's not a gift. The gift on a Christmas tree can be taken off and taken on instantly. Fruit grows. And it takes time. That is why we have to be patient with one another. In particular, you have to be patient with yourself. You know why? You are a work in progress. Just like I am. Are you listening to me? So fruit, you begin to say, you know what's going to happen? That fruit of patience starts growing inside your heart. Starts growing in the mind. Starts growing in the will. Starts growing in the emotions. Over time, 6 months, a year, you will be much more patient than you were 6 months before. And as after a while, you start becoming like God. You start seeing, you know, when people do things, you don't just see what they do. You now see the spiritual power that is making them do what they do. So instead of it evoking anger, it evokes compassion. Because you have understanding. He says he knows our flesh. He says we are but like dust. He says we have, you know, he says in Psalm, one of the Psalms, he says, you know, he doesn't keep his anger for long. He says we are just like dust. You start seeing people like that. It's just a man. You know why? You are just like God. So you start seeing men for what they are, and then you start seeing God men for what they are. You start behaving like God. You start thinking like God. You start acting like God. God gets angry. And God too can. He can destroy and punish when time comes. But before that time comes, he give you a long rope. You know, help you dung the tree. Put manure. Help. Let's see. You know, so I'm trying to put some fruit on this thing. You know, he's swift to bless and slow to anger. Start becoming like that. That's obedience. You purify your soul unto obedience through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. Let us pray. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God this morning, folks. Say, Lord, help me be strong in my faith. Anytime your faith wants to shake, think about the resurrection. And this plan that was foreordained before the world. And those scriptures I shared from Romans. And you can see it in humanity. The law of God is written on men's consciences. It's written there. I've said this before about the Chinua Achebe's great book. It's read, you know, all over the world. Things Fall Apart. It's fictional, but there's truth there. You know, the Igbos had a tradition that if you kill somebody inadvertently, that is, maybe, you know, it was an accident and the person died, you can run to a village of refuge. And they won't kill you. It happened to the fictional character Konkwo, and they had to go and stay in his mother's village for 7 years. It's inside the Bible. How did the Igbos get that? God put in their conscience. So they made it one of their traditions that if somebody died, he was killed so accidentally, he could run to his mother's village. In the Bible, it calls it cities of refuge.
Why? Because God, who is our maker, is a just and a fair God. That man did not intend to kill that person. It was an accident. In the heat of anger, people could kill the other person. So God gave him a way of escape in their tradition. That's God for you. And there's so many. We Yorubas have our own. I'm sure so many tribes have their own that I don't even know. If you study any human tribe, I'm sure you will see little snippets of God's laws inside their operation. It's God writing his law on the conscience of every man. So even looking at nature, you can see the invisible things of him are clearly seen. And so they have no excuse. So when you now get the real thing, the real truth, the full Bible, and you now turn your back on it, God gets very angry with you. He says, you know, any man who believes, says he has the witness in himself. And the Bible says that anybody who does not believe that witness, says he has called God a liar. Because you yourself know in your heart that it is true. Though you may pretend to men. So be honest. Be honest. Every time you have it, look to the heavens. God who made heaven and earth. Look at your own physical body and the great wonder of it. And you come back and say, ah, God is God. Hey, God, show me. Open my eyes. Open my ears. And he'll reveal himself to you. The King of love, my shepherd is, his goodness faileth never. I nothing lack.
I nothing lack.
For I am his,
and he is mine forever.
Let's sing it again. The King of love, my shepherd is.
The King of love, my shepherd.
And truly he is.
Goodness
faileth
never.
I nothing lack.
I nothing lack.
For I am his, and he is mine forever. Second verse. After this one, thou spreadst the table in my sight.
Thou,
what a truth!
The table in my sight,
thy unction grace bestoweth,
and oh, what transport of delight
from thy your chalice
flow.
Let's repeat this verse. It's so powerful.
Thou
sing it from the heart.
The table,
and he does.
In my sight,
thy unction.
Thy unction.
That's anointing.
Grace bestow.
And oh.
And oh, from thy pure chalice flow.
And so through all the length of days. Hallelujah. Shepherd, the good shepherd, the good shepherd, the good shepherd. He's not only the shepherd of the church, he is the shepherd of all men. He's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. Very kind, very loving, very patient, very gentle, wanting all to be saved. Not one to be lost. He's a good shepherd. Those who stay lost because they want to stay lost too. I'm fully convinced. I don't know them, but I know the good shepherd. I know his character. I can vouch for him. Let God be true and every man a liar. Raise that hand.
I sing thy praise within thy house forever.
Heavenly, say, Heavenly Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the precious blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness blocking my right standing with God so that I can receive life in abundance from God. So in Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that has come to me this morning, reminding me of your goodness, your faithfulness, your righteousness, your justice, your love, your compassion. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I am grateful for your gentleness that has saved me, is saving me, and is making me great. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, I repent of every dishonesty at the heart level. Oh God, I make a fresh vow to obey you at the heart level. When my conscience, through your word, is enlightened, I will say yes, Lord. I will say yes, Lord. I will say yes, Lord. I will not harden my heart. I will not ignore your word. Oh God, I know you have my interest at heart. And you show and you reveal your work and what you want to do in my heart through my conscience, through your word, by your Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, I will be honest. And I ask you to help me. I may be struggling, but I will be honest. God, help me. Help me. Help me to increase in honesty of heart, in humility of heart, so that I will do your will by the power of your Spirit through your blood and your word. Oh God, help me. Jekato frenengara maka. Lipriketu frenenga tuske fredes, lupriketu sku frenengars, zikitu frenenga lombragedoske frenes, lombrigitu fredes, ningar no glomotulomotulomotulomo shalakar, omurglomotulomotu fridu 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 In Jesus' name, you may be seated.